Luke 7 and verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired Jesus that he would come, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she's a sinner. Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. He said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Now, that's all that the reading will take. And I said we mightn't read it all, but we have read all the details, the whole paragraph, and I'm certainly not going to speak about all of these details. I have something specifically that I want to mention. And maybe 2-3 years at the most ago, I happened to have a flight, quite a lengthy flight, and as you do, you sit and read some of those magazines. So just to put in a little bit of time there, cramped up in economy class, I picked out one of the magazines, and I saw a story that has been in my mind ever since. And I'll give you some of the details of it just now. It was a case of in the Underground Railway station, rail network in New York. And in the subway, there was a gentleman, I think maybe he was in the legal profession. He got onto one of the trains about 11 o'clock in the morning. Things were quiet, the carriage was empty. He had about 5 different stops to do. So he thought to himself, well, I'll get a bit of work done. So he got out some of his papers and got himself all sorted out just to get a little bit of work done before his next appointment. When the train went on, came to the first stop, there was a youngish man got in with 3 little children and sat down just across from this gentleman. And in no time, the man that had just got onto the train, he put his head back and he was fast asleep, or seemed to be asleep. And the children were all upset and agitated, and they were jumping up in the seats, and they were jumping down, and they were making a fair bit of noise, and as we would say, a little bit of a nuisance of themselves. And they started to play around, and they took some of this man's papers, and they were pushing them off the table. And so after a little while, the man, businessman, became quite upset and he said across, he said, sir, excuse me. He says, can you do something about these children? And the man looked at him, shook his head, he looked at him. He said, sir, he said, to be honest, he said, I don't know what to do with these children. He said, I came from the hospital an hour ago, and he said, their mother has just died. And he says, I don't know what I'm going to do. and the businessman was rebuked.
You see, he misread the situation and he misjudged the man. And he thought the man across the carriage was a careless father who had no control over his children. And he was quite upset and quite annoyed and quite critical of this man who seemed to let his children just do what they let. And he rebuked him. But he himself was rebuked because that man had in his life troubles. And the little children, having lost their mother, they were all disorientated and upset. And you can get some idea of just, you know, it's very easy to misread a situation. I do that someday. And I'm always, well, maybe not always, but I should be always. I'm always saying to myself when it comes to meetings, I say, be very careful, David, that you don't misread your audience. Because there could be some people in your audience with a broken heart. There could be some people in your audience and they carry a burden. And some people in your audience are confused. And you don't want to misread their situation. And you want to be able to speak in a way that would be helpful to them at their level. And just to meet them in the point of their need. And so maybe there's someone here today, and I'm not aware of all the details. You're strangers to me and I'm a stranger to you. And I hope we'll be able to look at this story that we've just read. Yes, oh, he misjudged. Oh, he misjudged it. This Pharisee. They were the saucy sort of wise. They all thought they were just it. And they were wrapped up in all their religiosity and all their rules and rituals and their regulations. And they were very self-sufficient and very proud, and they just thought there was no one quite like them. And one of these Pharisee type of people, he invited the Lord Jesus to a meal, and while the meal was in progress, there was a lady came walking in, and she anointed the feet of the Lord Jesus, stood behind him, quite unobtrusive and weeping, just behind the Lord Jesus where he was reclining on the couch. And the old Pharisee wasn't too impressed. Yeah, he said, if Jesus was a prophet, he would know that this woman's a sinner. She's a sinner. He wouldn't allow her into the house. He wouldn't allow her to anoint his feet. Then he wouldn't have anything to do with her. She's just a sinner. And everybody in the city knows that. But he was wrong. He was wrong. Because there was something that happened in that woman's life that changed everything. And the Pharisee didn't know about it. And because he didn't know about this important thing that had happened, he misjudged the whole situation. And he criticized the woman. And he said things he should never have said. And he missed the mark by a mile. And of course, the woman never said anything. She didn't defend herself. But the Lord Jesus defended her. He spoke up. Didn't say very much to the woman. He made a number of comments to the Pharisee. Because the old Pharisee, with all this twisted thinking, he needed a bit of talking to. And the Lord Jesus said some very straight things to him. He didn't say just 12 words. As we have it here in our English, 12 words, great words. Just 12 words in 3 short sentences that he spoke to this woman. I think she went away a happy woman. Didn't matter who criticized her. Didn't matter what the Pharisees said. Didn't matter what the people thought. Didn't matter about public opinion. Didn't matter about what they were talking about in the town and the things that they might have been saying about her. Those things didn't matter now because Christ spoke into her ear and he spoke into her heart 12 great words. He said to the lady, he said, thy sins are forgiven. That's just 4 words. Thy sins are forgiven. Just 4 words. Oh, but I tell you, you see, in those 4 words, they're golden. thy sins are forgiven. Then to those four, he added five more. He said, thy faith hath saved thee. So not only are your sins forgiven, lady, he said, you're saved. And then he added three more. He said, go in peace. Go, he said, you can go out happy. He said, you can go out relaxed. He said, you can go out free. You can go out joyful. And I want to think about these 12 words just for a few minutes. I'll be stopping here about 4:30. Thy sins are forgiven. Say, it's great to have your sins forgiven, isn't it? It's a great blessing. I'm glad that I know this blessing. And it wasn't that the most of your sins, the Savior said, her sins are many. He said, they're many. He said, I know all about them. The old Pharisee said, if Jesus had known that this woman was a sinner, the Savior says, I know all about this lady. He said, her sins, they were many. But he said, I want to tell you that her sins are forgiven. It's not that they could be forgiven. I'm glad, dear friend, that your sins can be forgiven. But that was better. This woman, her sins were forgiven. They are forgiven. And it's not that the most of her sins were forgiven. And it's not that the worst of her sins were. They were all forgiven. Thy sins are forgiven thee. What a blanket statement. I say it's a great thing to have your sins forgiven. In fact, you say, how can people have their sins forgiven? The Lord Jesus, when he left this house, short time later, you know what he did? He walked from this house to Calvary. And when he died upon the cross and shed his precious blood, he paid the price of this woman's pardon. And she had her sins pardoned because the Savior on the cross, he paid the mighty price. I'm glad for the price that he paid. We sing an old gospel hymn back in Ireland, and one of its stanzas goes something like this: Jesus, my Saviour, on Calvary's tree, paid the great debt, and my soul he set free. Oh, it was wonderful! How could it be? Dying for me. And in the currency, oh dear people, listen, in the currency of his own precious blood, gold and silver and pounds and pence, and dollars and euros, they can never pay the price of sin. But in the currency of his own precious blood, there was a Savior loved us, and he hung upon the cross, and he bled, and he died, and he paid the price of sin, and he purchased the mighty pardon. Back in Ireland again, just not too far from where I live, there's a lady, lived many years ago, her name was Mrs. Alexander. She wrote a number of interesting hymns. One of them we used to sing in primary school quite regularly, still being sung. There is a green hill far away, outside the city wall, where the dear Lord was crucified, died to save us all. Then it goes on to say something like this: there was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven. Let us in. Let us go again from Hospital Hill, Dunfermline, this Sunday afternoon. Let us travel across the continents to Calvary. In fact, one day I happened to be with a little group in the city of Jerusalem at a meeting just like this, earlier part of the day, a remembrance meeting as we call it, and there was a gentleman got up to give out that hymn. There is a green hill far away outside the city wall. And he said, we'll change it slightly. And he said, today, he said, we'll just sit and we'll sing. There is a green hill near at hand. Outside the city wall, where the dear Lord was crucified, he died to save us. I would guess, dear people, from where we sat that day to the place where Jesus, my Saviour, hung upon the cross was about a quarter of a mile. It was all so real outside Jerusalem's wall as the Saviour rejected and cast out. The blessed Lord extended himself. He suffered, he bled, he died. And he died that we might be forgiven, wrote Mrs. Alexander in her hymn. He died to do us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. Thy sins are... Maybe there's someone here today and you would love to have your sins forgiven. I tell you, dear friend, we cannot pay the price of our own sin. And all that we might try to do, it would never earn the forgiveness for one sin. But thank God, the precious blood of Christ, says the Bible, it cleanseth us from all sin. And there's not a sin that the blood of Christ cannot cleanse. Thy sins are forgiven. Total cancellation, never to be found again. Then secondly, he said, thy faith has saved thee. That's a great statement as well. Many people wonder, how do you get saved? And it's not, again, it's not that thy faith might save thee, or thy faith could save. He said, thy faith hath saved. He was a woman already saved. And her sins were already forgiven. The Pharisee didn't know that. He said, she's just a sinner, and she's still a sinner. The Lord says, no. He says, listen, sir. He said, this woman has got saved. How? You notice in the story, it tells us that when she came on this occasion, she brought a gift to the Lord Jesus. Special gift of ointment. She anointed his feet and she poured out her tears and she gave quite an offering to the Lord Jesus. But when he was speaking to her, he said, now listen. He said, you didn't get saved because you brought this gift. And he said, you didn't get saved because you shed tears. He said, thy faith has saved thee. He said, it's not the works that you have done just now. And he said, it's not the sacrifice that you have just made. He said, it's thy faith. Oh, I tell you, people, that's the very core of the message of the gospel, that our sins can be forgiven and salvation is ours through faith in Christ. Not works. It's not money. I don't get saved because I have money or I give money. It's not membership. I don't get saved because I'm a member of the Gospel Hall, as people speak about. It's not merit. I'm not saved because of some merit or some qualities that I have. No, dear friend, I'm only a sinner and I'm nothing at all. But Jesus the Savior is my all in all. When I was just a boy, I trusted him as my Savior. He saved my soul. He changed my life. He satisfied my heart. And he has given me the sure promise of being in heaven forever. I'm saved through faith in Christ, not finances. And it's not feelings. And it's not fame, dear friend. It's faith. And the Bible still says, if there's someone here today and you're maybe struggling with this matter, you would love to know your sins forgiven. And you would love to know that your soul was saved. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And then, of course, there's another three words. Four words that tell me no debt. Thy sins are forgiven. Five words that tell me there's no more danger. Thy faith hath saved thee. Oh, I'm glad, dear friend, to be saved. And three words that tell us there's no dread. He said to this lady, he said, go in peace. I would have thought that maybe the way the old Pharisee talked about her, and he was so critical, and he was so negative, that this poor lady, she might have gone away from this house all upset and troubled.
and so badly annoyed at the things the Pharisee had said. But not so. The Lord Jesus said to her, he said, no, he says, you go in peace. He says, you can go away from this house and your sins have been cancelled. And he said, you can have the enjoyment of a calm within your soul. I'm glad, dear people, that I can say this afternoon, one of the great blessings that I have in Christ is not only pardon for my sins, but peace. Peace for my soul. I can rest at night. Absolutely, it's a troubled old world. All kinds of turmoil, all kinds of uncertainty, all kinds of fear that grips the heart of human beings. There is no condemnation, I can say. There is no hell for me. The torment of the fire mine eyes shall never see. For me there is no sentence. For me death has no sting. For Christ the Lord who saved me will shield me with his wing. Go in peace. She could go out of this house and where the meal was being held. She could head home with a peace that she had because of the promise that Christ has spoken. I say it here, people, you could go from the hall today. You never know that in meetings like this, there can be people who are secretly troubled and they carry, I'll call it an uneasiness.
And maybe they don't show it outwardly, but deep down there's just a little queasiness and they're not really at peace and they're not at rest. I tell you, I'm saved, dear friends, and I'm 100% sure of it. I never have a single doubt. Some people do have doubts and we do our best to help them. And there are reasons why some people can have doubts. I don't have a single doubt. And this woman didn't need to have any trouble and she didn't need to have any dread. And if you had met her going back to her own house with a smile on her face, with a song in her heart, and you had said to this lady, why tell me, lady, why are you so happy? The man in there said you're a sinner, but you seem to be very happy. Oh, she says, I'm happy. She says, I'll tell you why I'm so happy. Because of what Christ has said. She says, what he said. He said that my sins are forgiven. He said that I can go in peace. He said, thy faith has saved thee. And she says, I'm absolutely sure about it. Not so much because of how I feel. She says, I'm absolutely sure about it because he said it. That's it, dear people. That's what gives you assurance. And if you have troubles with doubts, and I see the time here, I'm going to keep my promise and I'm going to stop. And if you have internal uneasiness, and it's a very uncomfortable state of affairs to be in, I tell you, you plant the feet of your faith firmly upon the word of Christ. And the work of Christ for me. And the word of Christ to me. They make me absolutely safe and secure for eternity. You say, well, how are you so sure? I'm so sure because of two things. The blood of Christ and the book of God. Eh? Can you get any better, people? Can you surpass those? Christ's blood makes me safe. God's book makes me sure. And so we preach in a world of uncertainty, in a world that's so slippery and so shaky, we can preach a message of assurance and salvation and forgiveness. Will you remember the 12 words? I'll not elaborate, I'll not say any more about it. In fact, just I want to say, you say, well, what about that special gift that this woman brought the Lord Jesus? What part does that play in it? Well, there's one thing sure. She didn't get saved because she brought the gift. She already was saved. She did not bring that gift and shed her tears and anoint the feet of the Lord. She did not do those things to be saved. She did those things because she already had been saved. That's what happens when you get saved. You take the very best that you have. You think of what the Savior has done for you. And saved your soul and pardoned your sins. And then out of a sense of gratitude, you take the very best that you have and you pour it out at his feet for his glory. There it is, dear friend. Four words, a great consolation. Thy sins are forgiven. Five words, a great confirmation. Thy faith hath saved thee. And three words, a great calm. Go in peace. I hope the Lord will help us. We'll all be going out of here just in a few minutes through the door. May God grant we'll all go in the enjoyment of peace with God and the pardon for our sins through faith in Christ and in Christ alone. Now, thanks again for your good attention in another meeting, and we'll bow briefly just before we sing a hymn. We'll bow briefly in prayer.